everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Flag PvP Podcast. My name is Apathy, and I'll be bringing you news, updates, and information related to high-end WoW PvP arenas and battlegrounds. So before we go ahead and get the second episode started, I just wanted to go ahead and say that there have been a lot of requests to have the podcast put up onto iTunes and Stitcher, and I am currently in the process of getting them up there, but it does take a little bit of time. I have to have them approved by both of these. And hopefully, if you are listening to this right now on iTunes or Stitcher, then that means that it was completed already. But for the time being, we are trying to go ahead and get that solved. So we're going to go ahead and begin the second episode. Now, this episode today is going to be about the elusive 2200 rating and what it means this season and what it's going to mean next season. So before we go ahead and get into this, what I wanted to start off by saying is that a lot of people tend to associate 2200 rating with being extremely skilled and or they got carried there or whatever else. Now, most of what I'm going to be talking about today is going to revolve around arenas because RBGs are a completely different, it's a completely different set. When you do RBGs, of course, you've got 10 people. You can obviously carry people quite a bit easier, and a lot of people do end up getting carried there. But in arenas, it's a smaller environment. You have very specific comps and very, very specific reasons why said comps get up to the ratings that they get up to. So we're going to go ahead and focus on that today more than anything else. Now, a lot of people ask, what are the current best comps for, you know, my class? Let's say I play a hunter. What's the best comp that I can play in, and, you know, it's going to get me up to that 2200 rating so that I can get my gear, so that I can, you know, obviously show off that I'm a skilled player. Now, for people like that, one thing that they don't seem to realize is just because you're inside of a good comp, just because you have a good setup, you know, if you're playing hunter, you're playing something like KFC, where you have a warrior, you have a hunter, and you have a shaman, and they think, okay, well, I have this, my gear is good, obviously, you know, that should equate to me getting up to 2200 easily. But that's not really how things work. A good comp will set you ahead of the curve for any other comps that you may be playing. And a lot of times when you're playing in the 1600 to 1800 region, you'll be playing a lot of comps that are just kind of way out there. You'll be playing, you know, double DPS class like a hunter plus healer, or warrior plus healer, or whatever. And this playing these comps will set you ahead of them, you know, from the get-go, but it doesn't instantly mean, you know, I'm going to get a 2200 rating if I sit here and play for 3 hours. A lot more goes into it, you know, whether it be team communication, whether it be personal skill, whether it be, you know, sometimes just the luck of the draw. You know, you get a whole bunch of crits, or you get your CC timed off perfectly, or whatever else. But what we're going to go ahead and focus on today is these specific comps that are really, you know, head and shoulders above the rest in this season. So what I wanted to start off with was naming off the comps. Now, we've got things this season that we've seen a lot of is going to be like God Comp, KFC, Shatterplay, WPS, which is Warrior Priest Shaman, Kitty Cleave, Jungle Cleave, Beast Cleave. I mean, you have all sorts of names being tossed around here and there. And one thing that a lot of people will always ask is, you know, what does this name mean? Why was there a specific name that was chosen for these three classes of players? And unfortunately, in older days, in older seasons, you know, seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, you had comps that were named based off of things that each of the classes brought into that specific comp. Nowadays, it seems more comical. It seems like names are just kind of being thrown out there, you know, just for the hell of it. So we're going to go ahead and start off with the first comp that I listed there, which is going to be the God Comp. Now, God Comp has been seen a lot this season, and a lot of people will tell you that at the beginning of this season, God Comp was named thus because it was something that was almost impossible to beat. The old name for it was basically Wizard's Cleave. And what it consists of right now is going to be a Mage, a Shadow Priest, and a Resto Druid. Now, if any of you guys watched the Yaz Presents tournament this past Saturday and Sunday, as well as last weekend, what you would see is that the second place team, which was Vinruki, Soda, and Talbadar, they were playing a God Comp. They, as I said, they did get second place. They did lose to the Warrior Priest Shaman, which was Flubba's team. But if you watched them throughout the tournament, and if you've ever paid attention to any of the players that play really, really high-end arenas, you would see that when they play in a comp like this, there's so much precision that goes into everything. You have just constant CCs going out. You have, you know, amazing amounts of burst damage that is being dealt at times that it just doesn't seem possible. I mean, you have a target that's at 80% health, and then you blink, and all of a sudden they're down to 20%, walls used, everything, and the player goes down. It's absolutely insane. So that's God comp, and that's, you know, just a couple of reasons why they work, but I will go into depth with it just a little bit more here, here a little bit later. Now, another comp that is big this season is going to be KFC, and that's going to be Warrior, Hunter, and Shaman. Now, one of the questions that I've seen a lot of is, what does KFC stand for? Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though very many people know what KFC stands for. Let me go ahead and clear that up for you. KFC does stand for Kung Fu Cleave. Now, when you hear Kung Fu Cleave, you would probably think that it's got something to do with a monk. I have no idea how the name came about, but that is what it's called. You know, that's what KFC stands for, and those are the three classes that are associated with the KFC, with the KFC comp. Beyond that, you also have Shatterplay, which is a name from an older, you know, which is a name from earlier seasons, which is going to be Mage, S-Priest, and Shaman. And then you have the WPS, which is Warrior, Priest, Shaman. And that was actually the team, that was actually Flubba's team that won the tournament. I believe it was Flubba on the Shaman, it was Sko on the Shadow Priest, and you had Kara, who used to be a Rep Paladin, and actually switched over to the Warrior class in MOP, and actually did extraordinarily well. You also have things like Kitty Cleave, which is Warrior, Feral Druid, and then a healer. You have Jungle Cleave, which is Hunter, Feral Druid, and a healer. And various other comps that are around. You have the old school Shadow Play, which doesn't really work anymore because Warlocks, unfortunately, are not big this season. You have the old RMP, which everybody, or anybody really who has played Arenas, knows of the RMP comp and knows what they used to do in earlier seasons. They were really, really, really competitive up until very recently here, and that's Rogue, Priest, Mage, of course. Now, another thing that gets asked a lot is, okay, well, I see these comps. Why is it that they're doing so well? And my only response to that really is there's a bunch of things that really make these comps shine, which is the cross CC capabilities of the classes. Whether it's that the CC doesn't DR from one class to another, or, you know, just the sheer amount of CC that they have available to them, instant CC, I mean, everything like that. It really plays into why these comps are doing absolutely amazing this season and you know, even in prior seasons. Beyond the cross CC, you also have the survivability of each of the classes. You know, from survival cooldowns to like Shadow Priest off-healing, Feral Druid off-healing sometimes, you know, things like that. It really, really helps out with everybody else on the team. You know, you've seen it a lot. If a Shadow Priest gets low, they pop out of Shadow form, they start healing up their teammates, or they start healing up themselves, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got these players that are full while the healer was CC'd the entire time, and it absolutely plays a major role in these teams winning these arena matches. Beyond that, you also have stuff like teammate dispels. Again, coming from a Shadow Priest or Hunter or Warlock, I believe, you can remove anything from your teammates. You know, if you've got a warrior on your team, the warrior gets sheeped or the warrior gets rooted, you can remove that from them. As a hunter, you can give them freedom, things like that. I mean, it really helps out when your healer doesn't have to do it. I mean, this season I believe that healers have an 8-second cooldown on their dispels for teammates, and so having two of them in one match really, really helps out for basically everybody that's on the team there. Now, beyond that, you also have the ability to land kills by yourself. If you have something like a warrior that's going on another DPS class or even on a healer class, there's a lot of times when you can see that warrior can get that kill by himself, you know, whether it's in the back corner of the Naggarand arena or whether it's underneath in the Blade's Edge arena or inside the room in the Ruins of Lordaeron. When you have classes like that are capable of soloing another class inside of the arena, it does nothing but adds to the flexibility of the comp, because if you've got everybody else outside paying attention to something else, and then all of a sudden you get the DPS back inside the room in Ruins of Lordaeron, and you're able to finish them off, and everyone's just like, you know, what the heck happened? That really, really plays into how well a comp is going to be able to do in threes. Now, another big thing is what counters each of these comps. I mean, you hear, okay, these comps are absolutely amazing at what they do for all of these different reasons. What is it that can possibly counter, you know, this particular comp, and how is it that we go about doing it, and is it only these specific classes or these specific other comps that are able to counter? And to that I say, there's a lot of different classes that can counter, you know, God comp. There's a bunch of different ones that can counter KFC. As a matter of fact, they end up countering each other sometimes. It's never really a matter of, oh, I'm playing KFC, I get countered by, you know, X classes or whatever else. It doesn't really work that way. A lot of times it's just about how well you play in the specific match. Like I said, the comp will set you ahead from the get-go, but it's not the be-all end-all. It does not mean that if I have this comp that's supposed to win against, you know, whatever other comp, it doesn't mean that 100% of the time you are going to win. It just means that, you know, based on your classes, you should be a little bit better than them. But as I said, it's not the be-all end-all. Now, another thing that I see a lot of is also, I play X class. Can I only play in Y comp? And it doesn't really work like that. As I said, there's a lot of comps that I went over that have multiple of the same, you know, multiple classes that fit in there. Like you've got the Jungle Cleave, which is Hunter, Feral Druid, and a healer, and then you have KFC, which is Warrior, Hunter, you know, Shaman. Then you have, you know, just various other things like that, where the Hunter can play into all these different comps. A Shaman can play into all these different comps. A lot of times, you can swap healers, whether you have a Resto Shaman now and you want a Resto Druid, or whether you want a Paladin, or whether you want a Priest. You can kind of interchange them. It does change the dynamics of the comp, you know, sometimes extraordinarily, but most times a healer is a healer is a healer, and you really want to go with, okay, if my best friend is playing a Priest, I'm not going to ditch my best friend just because he doesn't fit in with, you know, he's not a Shaman or something like that. You really want to just play with what you can, and see how the dynamics of that comp are going to work out. It doesn't always have to be, you know, X class, Y class, and Z class. You can really interchange them a little bit. As I said, it does change the dynamics of the comp. It does change, you know, your CC abilities and your cooldowns and everything like that. And so that is something you have to be aware of. But don't think it's you know, I have to be with these, you know, specific classes in order to do well. Now, another thing I've gotten asked is, why is it that I don't talk about, you know, whatever other classes? I don't talk that much about Death Knights, because unfortunately Death Knights really don't have that much representation this season. I mean they're really, really kind of the man in the middle. I mean, they're not the lowest, and they're certainly not the highest. They're not in a point where they're absolutely amazing like they were in Season 5, but they're also not the very bottom of the barrel, like I would say Rogues and Monks are at the particular moment. Another class that I don't tend to talk too much about is going to be like Paladins, Disc Priests, things like that. And the reason that I don't do that is because, once again, Disc Priests right now are not in a very, very good position in PvP. They have a couple of perks that are working for them, and thankfully they are getting buffed next patch. You know, they're getting a whole bunch of different things, including like the mana regen that I mentioned last episode, and a bunch of other changes that actually came out here recently that are really going to help the priest in PvP be able to do their job better and be able to survive better. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Hopefully it doesn't turn them into, you know, ridiculous monsters, because I do see quite a few Disc Priests that are actually doing extremely well right now for themselves. That's the main reason why I don't talk about these classes, because, as I said, they're not the very top, they're not the very bottom, they're kind of hanging in there. So hopefully with 5.2 right around the corner here, we're going to see a bunch of different, you know, buffs and nerfs to various classes, and we'll see how 5.2 plays out. Right now, the comps that I see, or I'm sorry, the classes that I see that are going to be doing well next season are definitely going to be Monks, Rogues. You have Locks, which are getting a whole bunch of changes, which are hopefully for the best. The one thing that they are missing is going to be that blanket silence, but that should change PvP for the better as opposed to for the worse. You know, that's one small change. The Blood Fear change is also going to be a big one, but hopefully they, you know, they work things out. Hopefully Blizzard gets everything situated so that it's not going to be one big nerf or one big buff in one direction or the other. Shadow Priests are also going to be really good. I mean, they're really kind of flying under the radar as it is, and that's really what it seems like it's been for just about every season. They change priests, you know, for Disc and for Holy constantly, but Shadow just kind of seems to fly under the radar. They always do really, really well. I've never seen a season where a Shadow Priest did extremely over the top, where they were considered overpowered, and I've also never seen a season where they've been absolutely bottom of the barrel. They're always just kind of there and present. Now, specific comps that are going to work well next season. My opinion, once again, you combine any of these classes that I said, as well as some of the other classes that aren't taking big nerfs, and I feel that you're going to have a good comp next season. I feel like right now, mages are going to be in a pretty good spot next season. They're not going to be the ridiculous monsters that they are right now, but I feel like they are still going to be present. I feel like monks are definitely going to be good. I feel like rogues are going to be good. Shadow priests are going to be good. You're going to see a whole bunch more disc priests. You're not going to see as many warriors. Warriors are one of the classes that are getting heavily, heavily nerfed, unfortunately. I mean, it just seems like every day they're taking something more from them. And it's really going to affect them in PvP. I'm not sure if it's over-nerfing or if it's just kind of bringing them down. I'm not sure how it is that that they measure where warriors are at right now. But hopefully they don't nerf them out of existence. Hopefully they keep them in a good spot so that they are still competitive. Beyond that, you've also got the changes to, as I said, the Disc Priests that are coming. You also have a couple of Hunter changes, but nothing that's going to be completely outlandish. You have Paladin nerfs that are going out, which right now I do hear a lot of Paladins are overpowered, but in my opinion, I mean, there's times when you just can't kill them. You just don't have the ability to. As a matter of fact, I was in an arena match the other day, a 2v2 match, where we killed the DPS, and it was me and my healer versus the Paladin healer. And unfortunately, that Paladin healer was basically able to outlast the timer on the arena, and so it ended up in a draw, and it was extremely frustrating to have to try and sit there and kill a Paladin and not be able to do so, and not get my win just because that Paladin decided to run around in circles for 20 minutes and heal himself and, wouldn't die. It's absolutely frustrating sometimes, but thankfully they're taking away a bunch of different things from them, and they're changing a bunch of different things, so hopefully next season they're not going to be as up there as they have been this season. Beyond that, what 5.2 is also bringing in, which is going to be really great, at least in my opinion, is going to be the catch-up. The way that they have it proposed right now for catching up alts on gear is going to be whenever you have an alt that has missed, let's say, 10 weeks of the season. Let's say, it's 10 weeks in, you just got to 90, you have no gear, how are you going to catch up with everybody else that already has the gear? Now, what they're doing is, for every week that the season has gone on, the cap will go up for players that have not been active in the season. So let's say you jump in week 10, you have zero conquest, zero gear, nothing. What you'll be able to earn that week is going to be your weekly maximum, which is typically 1,800, 2,000. And then you're also going to be able to earn 1,000 more conquest points for every week that the season has gone on. So it's week 10, you're going to be able to earn 10,000 plus your weekly maximum. And then that's going to be right there, 12,000 conquest points that you're going to have to spend right up front. You'll be able to catch up a little bit on gear. Of course, it's not going to mean that, I'm going to instantly be as geared as everybody else. But it means that you are going to be able to play that catch-up game just a little bit quicker. And as I said before, hopefully that does increase the amount of teams that are going to be seen next season. Hopefully that really brings out a whole bunch of people, whether they're playing their alts or just whether it encourages more people to play arena. Maybe they don't play the first week. Maybe they don't play, up through week 5, but maybe, week 8, they're like, hey, you know what? I want to get into PvP. Let's try it out. And, they're going to have that ability to catch up. So hopefully there will be a whole bunch more people playing next season than there were this season. And that definitely, for me at least, is a change for the better. I mean, that's one thing that a lot of people have been saying this season, is that the gear disparity is absolutely horrendous. If you start late in the season, you're never going to catch up. And with them taking away the 2200 rating next season, and with the way that they're going to change that, it's definitely going to be basically a whole new ball game next season. I mean, I'm really excited to see how all these changes are going to be thrown in to WoW and how the playing field is going to change. It's really a whole bunch of awesome changes that are going in. So hopefully everything goes for the better. But I believe that's about it for this episode. If you do have any comments, questions, concerns, of course, you can go ahead and find us over on Twitter or over on Facebook. As I said, for the time being, I am trying to get this up on iTunes. I am trying to get it up on Stitcher. But I believe that's it, guys. As always, good night.